Smart City Dialogue, the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network, in short, ISCN. My name is Jordan DeBastian, and it is my pleasure to welcome Laura Diegas, consultant at DKSR, to today's ISCN podcast episode. Hi, Laura. It's lovely to have you.
Yeah, and thank you for having me here and giving us this platform for sharing a bit about the study.
That's right. You just conducted a study on data strategies for a common good, highlighting different practices of urban development and data usage. So I'm very much looking forward to you sharing some of the results and outcomes of the study. Before we dig into that, can you give our listeners an overview of what DKSR does?
Yeah, of course, I will do that. Well, DKSR, and let me first tell you what our name means, because it is, of course, it's a name that it was made in German, so it can be quite long and complicated, but the translation will be the Data Competence Center for Cities and Regions, short for DKSR. We are a company based in Berlin, and what we do is we offer an open source urban data platform with which cities can collect and connect their urban data and use this data to create different services for their citizens. And besides that, we also provide consulting services in data strategy and data governance topics. We are currently working with different cities, mostly in Germany. For example, right now we have a very exciting project with the city of Köln, Cologne in English, in Germany, and they are working with us for collecting and connecting different real-time data in their city to get a better understanding of the micromobility services within the city. So those are some of the things we do. And of course, when we got the assignment from the ISCN on this study on data strategies, we were very happy to get it because this was for us an opportunity to expand not only to the German European context, but looking at a global level and best practices in different regions and offer our expertise also in that regard. So very, very happy to be here.
Very exciting to learn about the services that you're offering. And I'm sure that's relevant to many of the members of the network also currently trying to set up different open data platforms or finding out what are best practices in that area. So maybe at this point, already an open invitation to the ISCN members listening to this podcast. If you're interested, of course, we'd be happy to put you in touch with Laura and her team to learn more about their open data platform. Laura, do tell me, what was the scope of the study? You said you examined different international cases and the outline in a nutshell.
Yeah, in a nutshell, what we did was we collected international know-how on best practices on data strategies and data-based interventions in different cities. And the way we did it was we spoke to practitioners, we spoke to the experts, we spoke to those that were in charge of actually not only designing the best practices, but also implementing them. And we asked them how it was, how do their cities go about data strategies, and what are some of the main maybe challenges, but also the lessons learned that they can pass to other cities. We did this doing some interviews and, of course, also through reviewing what the cities have done formally in terms of documents and official guidance. We talked with them and we pretty much put it all in a study, which you will see hopefully soon.
Can you give me a sneak preview to some of the findings? What were some of those? And before perhaps we go into some of the country cases, just overarching, like what were some of the key challenges that you found that cities are facing today? Mm-hmm.
So challenges, well, it's quite wide, I will say. But of course, because each city is different, right? But of course, there are some commonalities as well. I will say a big challenge that was often brought up to us was regarding to the data ecosystem. How do you orchestrate that? The issue of interoperability and just connecting the different data sets, breaking data silos. That's an issue that comes across quite a lot. And different cities are going about it in different ways. But that's definitely a common element there. I will say another maybe quite common thing to find is cities being tasked with this huge challenge, solving these huge challenges, right? Like you have climate change, you have COVID at the moment, and how do we prioritize? So where do we go about? Because we have limited resources, we have limited infrastructure. So how do we go about our smart city projects, and how do we find out on which areas we should focus, and where does it make sense to bring up the digitalization and data? I would say that's another part. And I would say maybe a third one would be definitely challenges regarding to infrastructure. Sure, there are a lot of initiatives, a lot of things you can do, but you need maybe sensors. You need technologies, Internet of Things. This all costs money, costs resources. It costs also the human resources to do it, the human capabilities to do it, and not all cities are equipped with this. And I will say a last thing that I noticed across pretty much all of the best practices is also this desire to foster innovation. We all talk about innovation. We all want to have this innovation ecosystem and flourishing innovation also, of course, as an answer to all these challenges that are arising as a result of the COVID pandemic. But it's not that easy to orchestrate innovation, right? You need participation. You need the private sector to get engaged, and it can be quite challenging. So I will say those are some of the maybe like the common things, but there are more.
Yeah. Maybe just to have a follow-up question on that. Of course, the challenges you outline now make a lot of sense that cities would be facing those. What about issues around finding out what data you need and unlocking those data sets, let's say? So I'm assuming many cities will be experiencing situations where data is perhaps in the hand of private sector actors, and finding out how to use it for the common good or for city planning can be a challenge. And in Germany, I know that data standards are a huge issue as well. So you mentioned interoperability. But maybe one step back, even having data that is standardized and setting data standards for certain types of data, whether it's mobility or other, is also a key challenge. Did you find those your study as well?
Definitely. The topic of connecting data sets and making them talk to each other, and also opening data, but not just opening data for the sake of opening data, but also opening the right data, the quality data that can be later used. How do you ensure that quality? And how do you know which data sets should be open? And where should you prioritize, right? So which use cases do you want to develop first, and what data you need for that, and what data is available? Maybe you need to collect something that is not available yet. And of course, then there is this aspect that you mentioned of vendor locked in, how to avoid that, or data sets that are in maybe private hands, companies, and how can I access that data that I need to complement the data sets that I already have in the city. So these were definitely issues that came up very, very often as well.
So let's talk about some of the cases or maybe even solutions that you examined in your study. You went all around the globe and had different countries that you featured, from Peru to Jakarta. What was it like identifying the cases? Maybe you can share a little bit of your methodology or process with us.
Yeah. Well, the identifying the cases was very interesting because this was a joint effort between the CASR and our colleagues from ISCN. So we basically first had a long list of countries and best practices that we identified that could be relevant. This was all done through research of our team, but also through past experiences, past projects that the ISCN also had, and also our team members. So, and then we narrow it down based on first, which urban domain was the best practice connected to. So we didn't want to have only best practices on, I don't know, mobility, right? We said, let's have a portfolio of best practices that let us see how it's done in different domains. And also, of course, a key thing was, it's maybe more pragmatic, but it was also key. It's where can we access high quality experts that actually have the time and are willing to talk to us, because we have to acknowledge these experts are loaded with work. They don't always have the time. They want to do it, but they don't always have the time. So we really wanted to make sure we got the best people on board. So that was also a factor that we considered.
And then what were some of the cases? Can you give us some examples? Leave it up to you which ones you found, which ones you want to present in the podcast now that you found maybe most interesting that you want to highlight.
Yeah, for sure. So maybe before I start that, let me just say, so we have a total of 10 best practices in the study. And what we did was we divided it in what we called levels. So it's basically, we took best practices at data strategy level. So 5 of them are looking at data strategies. That means the holistic approaches that cities took to orchestrate their entire data ecosystem and data governance. And then we have another 5 best practices that are looking at data-based interventions. So we are not looking anymore at the full approach of the city, but rather at maybe an intervention of mobility, or maybe an intervention for citizen participation. And we zoomed in these projects. Sometimes some of them are even at maybe smaller initiatives. And we looked at that as well, because we wanted to have both levels. We wanted to have more the bottom-up and the top-down approach as well. And to answer your question, well, it's a bit hard for me to choose right now, but I think maybe at a data strategy level, I will say a very interesting case was that of Montreal in Canada. So we basically spoke with an expert of the open data team of the city of Montreal. And Montreal is a city that recently, very, very recently, just a few months ago, they launched their Montreal Numérique. I don't know, I don't speak French, but it's basically the digital strategy of the city of Montreal. And in there, they pretty much established how they want to go about data. And it has a very citizen-centered approach, which was very interesting for us, considering that we are looking at data strategies for the common good. And Montreal also has implemented a digital data charter, which is basically a document that it's guiding everything that has to do with data ethics, data privacy, data security. They're really looking into these questions and setting parameters on how to go about it and how to set their entire ecosystem, which is something that is not always there for every city. So in that sense, I thought the approach of Montreal was very, very interesting. Not to say that the others weren't. They were all really interesting and one can learn from all of them. And then looking at maybe the database intervention level, I will say maybe we can talk about the Seoul. Sorry, not Seoul. I'm pronouncing that in Spanish. In English, Seoul. Seoul in Korea, where we looked at the launch of the Digital Majors Office, which is basically a data platform that collects really an enormous amount of urban data and makes it accessible, makes it, transforms it into easy to understand visualizations, not only for city administration and different city decision makers, but also to citizens in general. So basically, citizens can access this data, not only just the raw data that is, you know, hard to understand what is this telling me, but they can access real-time information on their city, what's going on, how are decisions being made, and even have fun with data, right? So that was a very, very interesting. I mean, Seoul is definitely front runner when it comes to digitalization and smart city. So it was really a privilege to be able to include them as well.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing those examples, which do sound very interesting, especially also in the difference of approach. So it's nice that you got to portray such a wealth of different kind of examples to be able to compare them. Maybe just one more city to bring in, because I know that you examined some places where we also have members from the ISCN. So perhaps you can share some of the things that you found from Sao Paulo.
Oh, Sao Paulo, yeah. Sao Paulo is another city that we included at the data intervention level. And we looked at an initiative that is called Mobilab. So that is the Sao Paulo Laboratory for Mobility, I believe. I think it stands for that. I will have to check later. Maybe I made a mistake exactly in what it stands for. And what they did, it's really, really amazing because it's a very good example of how cities can work together with startups and the private sector and to provide solutions for common problems, right? So what they did in Mobilab, it's they opened data sets pertaining to urban mobility. In their case, it was very much about bus movements and bus stops and passenger movements, and they opened that data and gave it to startups and basically gave them a green light to develop solutions to what they consider were the main problems. Here it was very interesting that that Mobilab also provided startups with information on what were exactly those challenges that the city administration was encountering. So they first talk to their staff and they talk to their people and tell us, what are you struggling with? And then they went to startups, they explained them that, they gave them the data and they let them do their thing. And it's very interesting what came out of that. So some, for example, there was a system for intelligent traffic management, for traffic lights, as well as automatization of bus routes and also bus ticketings, and so different procedures regarding to the bus system. So I think, for example, Mobilab is definitely also very, very, very interesting. Yeah.
That's super interesting to hear. I'm wondering if this is one example and you maybe see other forms of new kinds of public-private partnerships emerging with the topic of smart cities. It's at least sort of part of my observation that with data sharing agreements with private sector companies or initiatives like this, there is a strong need for public-private partnerships in mm-hmm. this context, but perhaps slightly different ones than we've seen in public-private sector corporations so far. On the example that you raised, it's so interesting because we're talking about like unlocking data sets to make them publicly available, make them openly available, and make them work for the common good. So how do we then make sure, for instance, like startups, which are great to involve and make so much sense, don't create just proprietary solutions on top of this data, but also innovate with this public good mindset?
Yeah, definitely. I think, for example, one can learn, for example, from the mobile lab approach, because in what they did was they said, okay, solutions should be open source, for example. So that's a way to go about it, right? So making sure that you avoid that the solutions that are created just stay in private hands. But I think definitely cities can also create incentives for the private sector to share their data and find what you call these public-private partnerships for sharing data. For example, because this topic of data sets that are in private hands and become the bottleneck for cities sometimes that want to produce solutions, database solutions, comes across very much. I will say, especially when it comes to the topic of micromobility, those data sets are often really in private hands. But some of the cities we talk to, they are definitely establishing mechanisms to go about that already at, for example, at procurement level and contract level with companies where they say from the beginning, there are data sets that we want to access. So if you want to operate, we would like to have this. So it is definitely possible. So I know Montreal is doing it. I know German cities are doing it. Jakarta was also had something going about this. So it's definitely possible.
Thank you. Now that you've mentioned Jakarta, I have one more question about that city. I got to visit the Smart City Control Room in 2017. It was a very exciting place to be. And back then, in absence of the infrastructure that you spoke of earlier, so in absence of an IoT monitoring system for the city, what Jakarta was doing back then was involving citizens. So they were crowdsourcing data for smart city processes. And I found that a really interesting approach that maybe other cities could learn from, not just Global South cities, but this question of like, how much do you automate the smart city monitoring and overview, let's say, and how much do you really involve citizens and focus on participation, a little bit like in the Fix My Street model, let's say. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you found still in existence, or you have any thoughts on this correlation between automated data gathering and citizen participation?
It is something that came up as well in the study, I have to say. I think, for example, in the instance I gave before about the digital mayor platform in Seoul, a big portion of those data sets are coming directly from citizens. So citizens have the option to give data not only on openly accepting, okay, yeah, you can access this data from my device. Of course, this is with prior consent, but also they have a system, for example, for where citizens can say, okay, there is a problem in my street and there is a problem with the waste service here. And gathering all that data allows decision makers to, pretty much orientate where to prioritize and what are the pressing issues in the city. And there's really a lot. Even in Seoul, citizens can raise what they call policy agendas. They can raise issues that need to be discussed. You have also in some of the cities, for example, in Montreal, there are examples of participatory budgeting taking place where cities have a direct saying on where resources and city resources should be allocated. So this is all in the scope of the study, and it definitely came up as well.
So maybe to close with, I think there's so much to take away already here, and I have to say, I can't wait to read the final study. Are there any other lessons learned that you want to highlight for the ICN members?
Yeah, I think a key issue that came a lot was, well, these experts we talked about, right? They all told us, you know, you have data, you have technology, you have digitalization, but you need to ask yourself, why are you doing all of this? Because otherwise, you really need a lot of resources and you have so many challenges. And how can you go about it, especially right now with the COVID situation, right? So what I will say is that all these best practices share one thing, and that is it's very much a citizen-oriented approach, where from the beginning it is said that whatever the city does around data, it's for the citizens, in the sense of what solutions we create, the solutions that our citizens tell us they need to be addressed. What data sets do we open? We open those data sets that are relevant for those solutions. How do we make decisions, right? How do we orchestrate this in terms of what data sets should be open, what shouldn't be open, or who should have access to it and what shouldn't? It's important to keep in mind this citizen-centered approach in terms of privacy concerns, in terms of data ethics. There are cities that are even going as far as asking people, hey, before we introduce this technology, are you okay with it? We want to introduce facial recognition cameras, for example, for advancing public safetyness. But first, we need to ask you, are you okay with this? So I think this is very important, because we want to have cities that are created for people, right? And we want to have technologies that are created for people. And the way cities can go about this is really setting these questions and setting these parameters in their data strategies. And yeah, using all the tools that are out there to ask people, talking to people. And it's really something that I found in common with all these best practices. And it's definitely something that plays a big role in how successful a data intervention is, how well accepted it is, and how sustainable in time it is, because it needs to prolong in time. And when you have happy citizens that are looking at the added value of opening data and using that data, things kind of, I think, happen organically later on as well. So I would say that's a big takeaway from the study: citizen-centered data approaches.
It's incredibly encouraging to hear, Laura, especially as you also said, in these times where we need to see how to create systems of trust, systems that strengthen our democracies rather than undermining them. So making sure that smart city processes, projects, and strategies contribute to that rather than setting up systems of surveillance or control is so incredibly important. So thank you so much for sharing that and for finding that out in your study. So yeah, it's been great to listen to you and to have you on. Again, thank you so much for taking the time to be part of this podcast.
Thank you, Geraldine. And I'm looking forward to have the study released and looking forward to see what else the ISCN is going to come up in the future. Very, very, very interested in seeing what comes.
Thank you. And if you, our dear listeners, are also interested in finding out more about the ISCN and our activities, please do visit our website, www.smart-city-dialogue.de. And yeah, check out the activities of the network. And thanks so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Hope it finds you all well. Stay safe and healthy until next time.